and then expanding on that a little. And then also we're going to ask His Grace Major Vipul Guru to speak something. He's sitting on my side here from Cape Town. And our favorite GBC. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. Om Ajnata Marandasya Ginanjana Sakaya Chakshmantamiya Tasmai Shingravay Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopisham Sapatamiya Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhananti Sambhadantikam Vande Aum Shri Guru Shri Atabarakam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagaram Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shiva Shavitam Sam Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Nino Bandhu Jagatpate Kopisha Kopikanda Vada Kanda Namaste Tapta Kamsa Gaurange Rade Vrindavane Shre Vishubhanu Sudhidevi Pranamani Hare Vanchakaupa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gopalabhadravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
As I mentioned, we want to hear something about Srimati Radharani, but through the perspective of Srila Prabhupada. It is like the telescope. We want to look at a far distant object. So Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, they are very far distant, very high, extremely high. So to see a distant object, you need a telescope. So the telescope, the lenses in the telescope are like the acharyas. Srila Prabhupada and then his Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta and his Guru Maharaj Bhaktivinoda. And then these lenses bring that far distant object nearer. But if the lenses, if the telescope is not in focus, and everything is a blur. So the lenses have to be like bona fide, authentic. So we're listening to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bhaktivinoda. They're authentic Vaishnavas, bona fide. Nitya Siddha associates of Radha and Krishna. And so they bring that far object nearer. They bring it nearer. So I want to read from Nectar Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's translation of Rupa Goswami's famous book. This is Rupa Goswami's most important book, Nectar Devotion. So we're talking about the qualities of Lord Krishna. So Krishna has 64 qualities, just like you also have various qualities. So God also has He has unlimited qualities to unlimited limit. But 64 have been recorded by Rupa Goswami. So this one is the 32nd one, and it's called compassion. So what does compassion mean? Rupa Goswami gives a definition. A person who is unable to bear another's distress is called compassionate. So one who feels distress to see another's distress is called compassionate. Then Rupa Goswami gives two examples. Krishna's compassion was exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows, which had been shot through his body. So you may remember there was an occasion where Bhishma was lying on a bed of arrows. This was at the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra. While lying in this position, Bhishma was very anxious to see Krishna, and thus Krishna appeared there. Upon seeing the pitiable condition of Bhishma, Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. So God himself is feeling compassion for his own devotee. It is not that the devotee cries to Krishna, and it's just a one-way street, as it were, but Krishna also cries for his devotees. It's around the other way. So Krishna began speaking with tears in his eyes. Not only was he shedding tears, but he also forgot himself due to compassion. Therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. Just like a big man, like Obama or Zuma or some big man or woman, it's very difficult to approach them. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So Rupa Goswami is saying that we always pray to Radharani, so we want to know what to pray to her for. You may be wondering, what do I ask Radharani for? So we pray to her for Krishna's compassion. She is the compassionate nature of Krishna. Krishna has many energies. Purusha Shakti Vibhadeya Shuryate. He has many energies, material energies and spiritual energies. Bhumiya Paunalavaya, earth, water, fire, air. These are all Krishna's separated material energies. You're sitting on the marble floor. This is an energy of God. You're sitting on the carpet. It's an energy of God. You're wearing clothes. These are different energies of God. Wood, fire, air. You're breathing in air. Ether means space. You take up a space. These are energies of God. There are material energies and there are spiritual energies. The spiritual energies are more important. Sat, Chit, Ananda. You've heard that? Ishvara Parama Krishna Sat, Chit, Ananda Vigraha. The Lord is eternal. Sat, Chit, full of knowledge. And Ananda, full of bliss. And Vigraha, he has a form. There are many spiritual energies of God. Jiva Shakti, Vishnu Shakti, Maya Shakti, Kriya Shakti, the energy of creation or cause, Kriya Shakti. But it's described in the introduction, Prabhupada's introduction to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, of all the energies of God, of all the potencies of God, of all the incarnations of God. The most important, the foremost, Prabhupada said, is the pleasure-giving energy. So what is this pleasure-giving energy? Such ananda, anand, bliss. And technically it is called Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti. Ladini means pleasure-giving. So there are many energies of Krishna, no doubt, and we recognize them all, and they're all important. But the chief and the foremost, according to Prabhupada in the introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the pleasure giving. It's an energy which gives pure pleasure. Sat is eternality. Chit, samvit, samdini, that's knowledge. But this libini potency, the energy of Krishna, which gives pure pleasure, pure unadulterated pleasure. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is described libini sa prem, that the essence of the libini shakti is prem. The word sa means essential ingredient, the essence. Like the essence of milk would be what? Cream, isn't it? The essence of milk is cream. Shishi rada rada na kinja. So this verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adivina, chapter 4, it's a very famous chapter dealing with Radharani's position. I mentioned Ladini Sa Prem. The essence of the Ladini potency culminates in Prem, love, love of Krishna. Prem Sa Bhav. The essence, again that word Sa, the essence of Prem results in emotion towards Krishna. Bhav Parama Kasa Mahabhav. This Mahabhav taken to its highest is called, this Bhav taken to its highest is called Mahabhav. So first of all, the Dini Shakti, pleasure giving. The essence of that is praying, love of God. The essence of praying is emotion towards Krishna. This emotion, spiritual love and emotion, taken to its highest is Mahabhava. So now we have this word Mahabhava. Then Sri Radha Sarup Mahabhava. Mahabhava Sarup Sri Radha Thakurini. Now Radharani is the Vigraha, the form, the Murti of Mahabhava. She is the personification of Mahabhava, which is love of Krishna taken to its highest. This is, it's a word called Mahabhava, and it indicates praying taken to its very highest limit, much higher than the cowherd boys, even higher than Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and they have very intense love for Krishna. Their love goes up to Anurag. But Radharani's love even goes beyond that. It goes to this thing called Mahabhava. So Radharani is the Sarup. What's that word Sarup mean? Form. She's the walking, talking, dancing form of Mahabhava. Mahabhava Sarup Sri Radha Thakurini. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So her whole body emanates this love of Krishna. And not only her body, but even the ornaments she wears, even the clothes she wears, even her senses. Her body is saturated in love of Krishna. Krishna praying bhavita. Bhavita means to be saturated in Krishna praying. Now you are not saturated in Krishna praying. You and I, we are saturated in false ego. I think I am a European, I think I'm an Indian. I think I'm a man or a woman. Even the concept that I think I'm a sannyasi or I think I'm a guru, it is not really correct. I'm the servant of Krishna. That's the real concept. Krishna praying bhavita. So Radharani is saturated in this love of Krishna. And that verse goes on. Krishna praying bhavita. Yagra chitendriya kaya chitta. Her consciousness, indriya, her senses, and kaya, her body, are steeped in love of God. Everything about Radharani, the clothes she wears, it may look to us like some sari, perhaps, you know, from Banaras or something. But actually that sari is steeped in love of Krishna. The ornaments, alankara, the ornaments she wears are steeped in love of Krishna. Her senses are steeped in love of Krishna. Her body, your body is not steeped in love of Krishna at all. Our body is steeped in ignorance. We want to sleep, we get lusty, we become angry. But Radharani's kaya, her body, is steeped in love of Krishna. So this is the difference. When we hear about these pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we shouldn't think ordinary girl. Krishna, ordinary boy. It is said that Radharani is 14 years, 2 months and 15 days. Young girl. but not eternal. She's actually eternal, and she has a spiritual body. And as I mentioned, even the ornaments, nippura, ankle bells, kinkari, those bells that go around her waist, her earrings, they're all composed of Mahabhava. And her whole purpose is to give Krishna pleasure. That is her whole purpose, simply to give Krishna pleasure. So she is the pleasure-giving potency. So this is an energy, but the energy becomes a person. That energy, Ladini Shakti, becomes a person. And I gave you the logic. The essence of Ladini Shakti is praying. Praying taken to its highest is emotion. Emotion taken to its highest is Mahabhava. And Radharani is this personification of Mahabhava. So the Acharyas have explained that Krishna, having pastimes with Radharani, it is like a boy playing with his shadow. It is like a young girl playing with her shadow. Sometimes late at night, they dance. Some of our young children like to dance a lot. And they play with their shadow. Nijasava Shakti. So Krishna is playing with his own shadow. Radharani is the emanation, the expansion. So there's nothing wrong with this. Why should God not play with his own shadow? Of course, agnostics, atheists, Mayavadis, they may say this is all Maya, and even explain that it's perhaps some lust. But that's why it's important to hear someone from someone like Srila Prabhupada, who puts things in perspective. So Radharani and Krishna having pastimes, dancing, tonight dancing on the banks of Radhakund, Sankit, playing different water games, Jalakini. These different pastimes are divine, completely spiritual. There's no tinge of any material emotion like lust, anger or greed. And it's compared to a young boy playing with his shadow. Where is the harm? No harm at all. So we have to understand this properly. Otherwise we get a mundane conception. So we're fortunate. Our conception is coming through Srila Prabhupada. He has introduced us to Krishna, Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, Radha Kund, Yata Radha Priya Vishnus, Tasya Radha Priya, Tasya Radha, Savaka Pisha Savika, Vishnu Janta Bhadava. Of all the gopis, Vishnu Janta Bhadava, Radharani is foremost. And it's because of her devotion. So, on Radhashtami, how should we pray to her? We take Prabhupada's instructions. Take advantage, Prabhupada says, of the compassionate nature of Krishna, which is represented by Radharani. Always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. Even if we want to become the follower of Radharani, we pray to Krishna. We pray to him, the compassionate nature. So, this is a wonderful occasion. It's very nice to see so many Vaishnavas. And we pray to Radharani and Krishna that they can bestow their mercy on all of you. Radharani has appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most munificent and also very compassionate. Is he not? Lord Chaitanya is very compassionate. But more compassionate than Lord Chaitanya, he is compassionate, is Lord Nityananda. He's even more merciful. Then, more merciful than Lord Nityananda are Lord Nityananda's associates, like Udarana Das Thakur. This is described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada are the present day representatives of Lord Chaitanya's associates. So they're even more merciful. They're even more merciful. So we want that mercy, that compassion. So we connect to Srila Prabhupada's mission, to chant Krishna's name, we can get the mercy from Radharani. And one day we can enter into those pastimes. This is very exalted and very high. Prabhupada has written, manipulative instruction. But those interested in practicing Krishna consciousness should ultimately reside at Radha Kund. But the word emphasis should be on the word ultimately. It's not something we begin with. Begin with, we have to understand Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Not this body, I am the soul. I'm not this fickle mind. I'm not this speculative intelligence. I'm not this false ego. One has to understand there has to be a foundation in our spiritual life. Guru Nishtha has to be there. Guru Nishtha. Firm faith in Guru. Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, Param Guru. And gradually you can go higher. So this is by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya coming through Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much. I think I should just introduce Medhavi Prabhu. That's alright. Many of you may not know Medhavi Prabhu, but he came here to South Africa. Medhavi Prabhu here, sitting on my side here. 1979 December April 1980, so he came in 1980 and helped the yatra tremendously, especially during our collection period, which was a period of time when myself, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, Medhavi Prabhu, Shyama Prabhu, we were all collecting to build this temple. So Medhavi Prabhu traveled throughout South Africa with Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj actually for many years, 3-4 years, and collected. So now Medhavi Prabhu is residing in Cape Town. His wife is actually from Mirbank, another wonderful devotee. And he was very kind and agreed to come here and will speak to us about the significance of today. Shri Shri Radha Radhanath Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gau Premanandi. I'd like to read from Sri Upadeshamrita by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami wrote many important books. As Prabhu was mentioning, the Nectar Devotion or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was selected by Srila Prabhupada to translate and present, because it is the science of Bhakti Yoga. So the first verses, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udara Prastha Vegam, Etan Vegan, Yo Vishaheka Dira, Sarvam Apimam, Prithivim Sashishyat. A sober person who can tolerate the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. It's to Atyahara Prayashascha Prajalpo Niyamagraha Janasangas Jalodagamcha Sadbir Bhaktir Vinashati. One's devotional service is spoiled when it becomes too entangled in the following six activities: one, eating more than necessary, or collecting more funds than required; two, over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matter. 4, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. Or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Christian consciousness. And 6, being greedy for mundane achievements. Utsaham nishtaya darya tat tat karma pravartana sangachaga satovite sadvir bhakti prasidhiti. There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regular principles, such as shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6, following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. Dadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prishyati bhunte bhujayate chaiva sarvidam pratipakshana. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the 6 symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. Krishneti yasya giritam manasa jyeta dikshasti che pranatibhishta bhajantam isham shushu shaya bhajanadigya ananyam anya nindari shunya ridam ipsat sangha rakya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Jastai sabhava janitai bhapusas chadosaya na prakritatvam iha bhakta janasya prasya kankam basam na karu bhubhura pina pankar brahma javatam apakashti mira dhamma. Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body with a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes, during the rainy season, are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya Pito Patata Rasanasya Naroji Kanu Kentwara Rad Anivinam Kalasai Vajusta Sadhi Kramad Bhavati Tad Gatamula Hantra. The holy name, character, pastimes and activities of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one afflicted by the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet,
It is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. Tannama Rupa Charitari Sukirtanami Smritjo Kramenam Rasanam Manasi Niyoja Tishan Vrajay Anuragi Jananukami Kalam Nayet Akilam Ipupadesha Sama. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathura Puri is the transcendental force of Vrindavan because of Krishna's Rasa-lila pastimes. And superior to the force of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian praying of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radhakund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? In the Shastra it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord, Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, Gyanis, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental covered boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Murkunda Lake is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as his most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radhakund and in the spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings, a Pukarika Bhava, render loving service to the divine couple, Sri Radha Govinda, who perform their Astakalya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes. Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radhakunda are the most fortunate people in the universe. Of the many objects of favored delight, and of all the lovable damsels of Rajabhumi, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most treasured object of Krishna's love. And in every respect, her divine kunda is described by great sages as similarly dear to him. Undoubtedly, Radhakunda is very rarely attained, even by the great devotees. Therefore, it is even more difficult for ordinary devotees to attain. If one simply bathes once within those holy waters, one's pure love of Krishna is fully aroused. So, this is one of the concluding statements. I, unfortunately, don't have any realizations about that subject matter, but I can hope someday to understand that more deeply. Hare Krishna.
incarnation of the Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Shilati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaur Vani Pachari, Mera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastachari Shani. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Manishkavatarubhyasya kripa sindhu vyevacha, patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. We were hearing about Srila Rupa Goswami and hearing from Srila Rupa Goswami. Very beautiful. Very appropriate. Srila Rupa Goswami would live in different places around Braj Mandala. Sometimes he'd be where the current day Radha Damodara temple is famous, temple in Vrindavan town. Sometimes he'd be in other places. Sometimes he'd be in Tirthadamba, which is between Nandagram and Yavat. Yavat, where Srimati Radharani was living when she was married to Abhimanyu, and Nandagram, where Lord Krishna was living in the last so many years before he actually left Vrindavan, went to Mathura, and then after some time he went from there to Dwarka. So Srila Rupa Goswami was staying there at Tirthadamba, a very nice and very sacred place where Lord Krishna would come in the evening, but he would come at different times, but among other times he'd come in the evening and call the cows before returning home. Srila Rupa Goswami was living there, and then one day he understood it is the appearance day of Srila Sanatan Goswami, who is my Siksha Guru, and he's also my older brother. He's a very, very wonderful spiritual personality, very dear to Lord Chaitanya, very dear to me. And it is his appearance day, it is his birthday. So I should do something, I should make some offering. I should express myself, go out of my way to express my appreciation and my heartfelt feelings on this very noteworthy day. But he was living there at Tirthadamba, and well, it is out, in those days it was out in the forest and some distance away from Nandagram and further away from Yavat, and there were no facilities. Even now there at Tirthadamba there are no facilities really, certainly no comforts. But still he was sitting there and he was feeling like that and thinking like that, that I should do something. But how can I? There's no facility, but I wish I could. I wish I could prepare some nice sweet rice and offer it to Sanatan Goswami on his appearance day. Sanatan Goswami at that time was living nearby, same vicinity, same area by Pavan Sarova, just you could say on the other side of Nandagram, and right at the base of the hill of Nandagram, more or less on the edge of the village. So Rupa Goswami was thinking like this and regretting that I can't actually do something even though I'd like to, and and really I should. Some sweet rice would be very suitable to offer. Suddenly, out of the forest emerged one young girl, just more or less coming out of nowhere. And Rupa Goswami was surprised because it was isolated, particularly in those days, and people generally didn't come. But now this young girl just emerged from the forest with a big pot and said, "Here, take this." Whack. Now he had it in his hand. "What is this?" And she said, "This is some sweet rice. There was a wedding in the village. This was left over. And the elder said I should take it, go out into the forest, find some babas, some old, some renounced devotees, and distribute it to them. So there you are, take it, it's for you." And he's looking at the sweet rice thinking, "What is this? I was just thinking exactly about this, and it seemed completely impossible and out of the question." And suddenly it comes, and he's looking at it, then he looked up because he wanted to thank the girl, but she had vanished. And not just quickly walked away, but just vanished as such. So Rupa Goswami was thinking, what good fortune, this is just wonderful. Let me go over to Sanatan Goswami's place there by Pavan Sarovar. So he walked over. It is maybe a 1 hour walk or something like that, perhaps even longer, with this fairly substantial pot of sweet rice. So he came there, he arrived, and sat down and said, My dear Sanatan Goswami, my dear brother, please take this. This is my offering to you on your birthday." And Sanatan Goswami asked him, "Where did you get this? You're living out there at Tir Kadamba. There's no facility and in any way. So where on earth did this come from?" And as he asked that, he was taking a bit and lifting it to his mouth, and he was going to taste it. And just as he was lifting it to his mouth and about to taste it, then he started tasting it. Rupa Goswami said, "Well, there I was at Tir Kadamba and thinking about offering you something like this, and this girl came out of the forest with this pot of sweet rice, and she told me there was a wedding in the village and this was left over, and it was uncanny. It was amazing. So there you go." And then Sanatan Goswami ate some. And when he ate it, he became stunned. He became stunned. Tears started coming from his eyes. And he said to Rupa Goswami, he said, "Wait a minute. There was no wedding in the village. I'm here. I'm in the village. At least I'm right, just on the edge, and I know everyone here, and I know everything that's going on. There was no wedding. There was no wedding." And Sanatan Goswami said, "I have tasted the remnants of Lord Jagannath, because in Puri they also make sweet rice every day. And it's very tasty indeed, and full of bhakti." So Sanatan Goswami said, "I have tasted the sweet rice remnants of Lord Jagannath, I have tasted the remnants of many deities, like Radha, like Madan Mohan, like Govindaji. I have tasted their prasadam. I have even tasted the sweet rice remnants of Lord Chaitanya himself from his own mouth. But I have never tasted anything like this. And Sanatana Goswami told Rupa Goswami, that was Srimati Radharani. This sweet rice is from Srimati Radharani. And you have engaged Srimati Radharani in my service. That's terrible. And he started crying in humility and regret. Srimati Radharani serving me. That is just so much not right. It's, you know, it should be impossible, but you have engaged Radharani in my service. That is terrible. And he sat there in a mood of regret and lamenting greatly about this for some seconds, maybe for a minute, a little while like that. Then he picked up his head, lifted up his head, looked at Rupa Goswami and said, pass me some more sweet rice. So they feasted on this quite a bit of sweet rice, personally prepared by Srimati Radharani. And as they were taking this sweet rice, mouthful after mouthful, they were crying tears of ecstasy, and their tears were dripping into the sweet rice. So, there's a very famous story about Srila Rupa Goswami. If you've seen the cover of at least more recent versions of Nectar of Instruction, which Madhavi Prabhu was reading from, you would see, and on the cover is a picture of Rupa Goswami sitting there and Radharani coming out of the forest. And Prabhupada also told the story on a few occasions. So it was very amazing. Srimati Radharani is very amazing transcendental personality. Very amazing. She is unique. There is no one like Srimati Radharani. And her relationship with Krishna. Well, we've been talking from time to time during the course of the day about that. His Holiness Papa Sarathimaraj was speaking very nicely about that. Pladani Shakti. Yes, the essence of all spirituality, the essence of the internal potency, is the pleasure potency. All other aspects of the internal potency, eternity, knowledge, consciousness, they're all there just to facilitate the pleasure potency. That's all. So Krishna can enjoy happiness. And that is particularly manifest in his relationship with Srimati Radharani. And that relationship is, well, to say, you know, we can say it's a very amazing relationship, which it is, but that certainly doesn't do it justice at all. It is completely like, you could say, an extra-dimensional relationship in our terms. And the thinking, the feelings, the emotions, the love which is exchanged within those pastimes is also very superhuman and completely incredible by our standards. Although, as His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj was saying this morning, you may recall, Maharaj was saying how in many regards the relationship between Radha and Krishna defies what we would normally understand as being like, you know, a nice loving relationship between a male and a female. Because, as Maharaj was saying earlier, it is parakya bhava, not swakya. Swakya bhava means the mood of a married relationship. And parakya bhava means the mood of a not married, unmarried, loving relationship between a male and a female. And, you know, at least amongst, you could say, cultured people, there's the idea that if a young man and a young woman develop attachment and affection for each other, when it reaches a certain point, they should marry, and then it becomes sort of solidified. Yes, and this is, people generally feel, nice people feel, this is right, it's the right thing to do. But Radha and Krishna, they're specifically not married. And even there is, you could say, the device by the arrangement of Purnamasi, who's Yoga Maya in Vrindavan. In fact, there's a discussion between her and Gargi, the daughter of Sandipani Muni and sister of Madhu Mangal. Gargi asked Purnamasi, who was it who arranged the marriage of Radharani to Abhimanyu? I mean, who on earth made that arrangement? Because, you know, Radharani is qualified in the extreme and beyond, and Abhimanyu is unqualified in the extreme and well and truly beyond. In fact, he is a first class schmuck. Actually, the transcendental personality. But on a certain level, he sort of conducts himself like that. He's kind of incompetent, you could say, in so many ways. But, and Radharani, who's the most competent, got married to him, and Gargi said, who? And it's like, you know, who was the fool who arranged that? And Purnamasi says, well, I did, actually. So it is actually, in fact, a device in the pastimes here to enhance everything, to make everything more wonderful. Maharaj was mentioning how Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes a discussion, not actually as far as I'm aware, between Krishna and her, but between someone and her, Radharani, in which the person, the questioner, asks, why don't you and Krishna just get married? And then people wouldn't criticize you for being together. In fact, you would have to be together. If you weren't, then people would criticize you. So why don't you just do that, or why didn't you just do that? And Radharani said, no. I wouldn't want that. It would just be boring. We would sit there and I would say to Krishna, I love you. And Krishna would say, I love you too. And I would say, I love you very much. And Krishna would say, I love you very much too. And it would just be boring. So there's better the way it is. And Srimati Radharani said, our relationship is actually like an excellent chutney. An excellent chutney is so hot, you can hardly manage it. But it's so sweet, you can't resist it. Shishi Radha Radhanaki. So I believe we're going to carry on for a while. And yeah, okay. So, yes. And when I tell this little story here and there, I tell the devotees that in Durban, we have such a chutney, particularly in Unit 3. Chatsworth. It is mainly green chilies, and the rest is red chilies with some sugar. And it is called Mother-in-Law's Revenge. The devotees without fail. So Radharani said, our relationship is like that. Sometimes we're trying to meet and trying to meet, but there are so many obstacles. And it's just too much. And I just feel that that is too much. But then we meet. And it's just so amazing. And then sometimes we have met, we are meeting, and along comes a personified obstacle, like Jatila, the famous original prototype mother-in-law, upon whom all other mother-in-laws have been modeled, but none have achieved their position. But some Jatila comes, or Kutila, or Mukara in one of her moods, or Kerala. These are the cantankerous ladies of Vraja, who, in terms of the pastimes, object to Radha and Krishna meeting. So, yes, and so sometimes we are meeting, it's so wonderful. But then we get separated because somebody comes, something happens, and we just cannot stay together. So it's really like that. And you'll see in Brahma Samhita, the one verse which has the very long purport, I forget the number, it may be 35 or something, and it's talking about Radharani's qualities and expertises and so on. In there, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta talks about, mentions what Jiva Goswami says about the Parakya pastimes, unmarried pastimes. He says they are Vibhrama Vilas. Vilas, of course, means pastimes. Brahma, B-H-R-A-M-A, Brahma, means like something is wrong, mistake, or even like crisis. Something is really wrong. And Vibhrama means very wrong. Vip is a prefix of emphasis. Very. Vibhrama Vilas. which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta translates as amazing pastimes through the medium of apparent error. Amazing, the most amazing pastimes, but through the medium of apparent error. It seems something is wrong, and something is drastically wrong, but that is what makes it so wonderful. That is what makes it so wonderful. The conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and all the different exchanges and intricacies, everything that goes on there, where there is no formality, no formality holding the relationship together. The relationship exists only on the basis of love. That's all. There's no formality like being married. It's a formality. It makes everything socially acceptable, etc., etc. And people, the relationships continue on that basis. Even sometimes when the people are uncomfortable in the relationship, still in many cases it still goes on the basis of the formality. But in these relationships, the only point is the love. And it is on the basis of the love that the relationships are going on. And the love is so exclusively important that whatever other considerations may be there or arise to the contrary, but love wins out. Love remains the principle and the only real principle, even if the opposing elements are extremely strong. So, yes. So all sorts of, well, what can we say in English? Amazing, again. Things happen in these pastimes. For example, you may have heard the story, or you may not, that one day Krishna was herding the cows with a cowherd boys, and after a little while he felt he would take a nap. As Prabhupada would say, a snap. A snap is a short nap. According to Srila Prabhupada, a snap. So Krishna felt he wanted a snap. So he lay down using the legs of one cowherd boy as a pillow, and he just dozed off into his snap. And in his little nap, what should Lord Krishna dream of but meeting Srimati Radharani and the gopis at Kusum Sarova? And they were busily picking flowers. Guess for what? For when they meet with Krishna. But anyway, that's okay. So Krishna, you know, this is, he is very, sometimes very forthright, you could say. And sometimes the gopis are also very forthright back. Krishna said, he greeted them. He greeted Radharani. Oh, Chori. Do you understand that? Do we need a Hindi lesson? Oh, thief. Oh, you thief. What are you doing here, stealing my flowers? And Radharani, who's also very forthright sometimes, she said, what do you mean, your flowers? Who do you think you are? around here. And Krishna said, well, you know, I hate to sort of flaunt my authority and high position in front of people like you, but I happen to be the only son of Nanda Maharaj, who it just so happens is the king. Therefore, these are my flowers, because the property of the father is the property of the son. So, Radharani said, you know, I think you are in a little illusion. Have you heard of Maya? The modes? Because, yes, I admit that Nanda Maharaj is like the sovereign, but he is only in that position. He is sort of licensed by me. You know, like, what do they call it? You license a business, what's it called? Franchise. That's right. He's got a franchise from me. So he's acting as the king, but actually it's my forest. Because, well, you know, it's called Vrindavan, forest of Vrinda, and this is Vrinda herself. And she gave it to me. And Krishna, and Madhu Mangal was there. And Lalita said, it is truly Kali Yuga. It has come a little early. And just see, the servants think they are in the position of the masters. It is Kali Yuga. Madhu Mangal, who's very bright, talkative young Brahmin, he said, you're right, it's really Kali Yuga. You destitute village girls, poverty stricken, you think you own this forest, this beautiful forest. Forget it. So, a little debate, you could say, broke out. And Madhu Mangal is trying to push himself forward a little strongly. And Krishna said, Madhu, listen, Madhu, let's not just have like a casual discussion, debate, negotiation. Let us speak on the basis of scripture. Satyatve darsyam evahi. We will speak dharma. The gopis laughed and said, dharma, religion, scripture. What do you know about that, Krishna? You are famous as a thief. So Madhu Mangal stepped forward and said, listen, girls, I am a Brahmin. I am a great authority. In fact, I am an extremely great authority. Let me tell you something from our Vedas. In the Rig Veda, it says, Vrindavan, Krishna Van. Vrindavan is the forest of Krishna. And Krishna quietly spoke to Madhu Mangal. Listen, Madhu Mangal, be careful with these girls. Don't, you know, you may get into a whirlpool if you try to really get into it with them. And Madhu Mangal wrapped his Brahmin thread around the thumb of his right hand and said, listen, my friend Krishna, when you have an advisor like me, the very embodiment of the Vedas, the knower of all scriptures, and the mouth of Lord Vishnu. Why should you hesitate to debate with these village housewives? All they know, their wisdom is cooking and making cow dung patties. And he said, I know they're quite good at cooking beans, but don't listen. It's okay. Everything is cool, Krishna. Relax. And then Radharani responded. Well, actually, Lalita responded on behalf of Radharani. Lalita said, that was a nice quote from the Rig Veda. Let me give you one from the Puranas. Radha Vrindavanam Vanam. That Vrindavan forest is the property of Radharani. And Madhu Mangal said, you're quoting the Puranas. Oh, you obviously don't know that the Shruti, the four Vedas, are the ultimate authority. The Puranas are secondary. And Lalita said, well, perhaps you don't know that when a statement from the Vedas, the four Vedas, is not clear, then we must go to the Puranas for clarification. And your verse was not clear. Vrindavan Krishna Bhavan, Krishna means dark. And we can see, look around, it's very dark in the forest. So your verse, you say it means Vrindavan forest belongs to Krishna, but it can easily be said that Vrindavan forest is a dark place. So for clarification, we must go to the Puranas. This is why I have quoted our verse, Radha Vrindavanam Vanam. So, you see. And Madhu Mangal started spluttering and saying, well, hang on a minute, just let me think about that. And then he turned to Krishna and said, you know what? I just remembered I have a very important engagement. I'll see you later. And he was gone. And then the gopis surrounded Krishna and they were just giving him the sauce. The hot chili sauce. Habanero sauce. And just completely surrounded. And Krishna didn't know what to say, what to do, and he couldn't escape. What on earth to do? Do you know what he did? He woke up, because he was really sleepy and dreamy. So you see. But it shows these things like this are going on, and it's very... Oh, it's very wonderful. We could say some more, but I think we should leave it for next year. Otherwise, if you hear it all, you may not come back next year. So let us conclude the program. Is it with an arti? Yes. Let us conclude the program with a very nice arti for Radha Radhanath and very beautiful, ecstatic, wonderful, heartwarming blissful kirtan from His Holiness Prabhasarati Maharaj. Shri Radha Sami Mahotsava Ki. Shri Radha Sami Mahotsava Ki. Shri Radha Sami Mahotsava Ki. Srimati Radha Rani Ki. Shri Radha Radhanath Ki. Go Premanande. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Okay, everyone can stand up.